We'll join together in the singing of the hymn 265. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Let's all bow together in prayer. It is with rejoicing that we come before the presence of God tonight, drawing near to Thee, Almighty God, and doing so through our Mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, with joy and praise and a sense of wonder and awe in our hearts as we do so. We think of the God who is marvelous, the God who is wonderful, especially in his love towards us. We thank you that God commended his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And herein is the great love of God manifested, in that the Lord Jesus Christ was given up in a sacrifice for our sin, taking our place as our substitute, bearing the penalty that was due us standing fully in our stead. We can say in the words of this hymn, He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them His very own. He bore the burden to Calvary. He suffered and died alone. And Lord, the very thought of what we have just quoted makes us cry out in our heart, How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. For that song that has commenced in our heart here upon the earth, the new song given to us in salvation and redemption, a song about the Savior's love, about His redeeming grace, about the fact that we're washed and we're cleansed and we're saved, is a song that will continue through the countless ages of eternity, there around the throne of God in heaven. As the church victorious stand before the Lamb, they sing, and they sing praises unto Him who loved them and washed them from their sin in His own blood and made them kings and priests unto God. And one day our voices will blend with theirs, for we shall be there in the glory, and we shall sing everlastingly to the One who's worthy. Oh, Father, we thank Thee for this first Lord's Day of the year. Thank Thee for Your presence with us thus far, for the work done in the Sunday school and the Bible class already, for being with us in the worship service, for Your precious Word reminding us that the believer has an anchor for his soul that is sure and steadfast, and that anchor is Christ, the forerunner who has gone beyond the veil. We thank Thee for the precious time that we had around the Lord's table in remembrance of Thee, our dear Savior, who bled and died for guilty sinners like ourselves. And Lord, we thank Thee for the new members that have come in to be part of the fellowship here. Oh, Father, this has been a good day, but we come to another meeting. We're very conscious that we need the Lord again. Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, stand among us in Your power, Your risen power. Be one of our number. Speak to our hearts by the Spirit. Commune with us tonight. Oh, Lord, come and break through all the barriers that would be between us and heaven. We pray that You'll take those things away, that there'll be that open avenue of fellowship and communion with Almighty God tonight, that we will hear more than ever the voice of our Beloved speak through every line of the hymns that we sing, through the Word of God that will be read, and in the preached Word. O blessed Lord Jesus, the eternal, everlasting Son of God, our Redeemer, our Friend, our Savior, speak with this congregation and with those that are listening in on the internet tonight, and make this a day to remember, a night to remember. We pray that the blessing of God will rise to a climax, that sinners will be converted to Christ as a result of our coming together in Jesus' name tonight. For we ask it through Christ our Redeemer. Amen. As always at this stage, we bid you welcome to the congregation here, to those on the internet listening in on Sermon Audio and Facebook. And we were just remarking that over the past number of months, from lockdown on through, now, we have various ones in different places of the world throughout the United Kingdom too that are joining us week by week, and we're glad to have you as part of the Hebron Church. Our ministers have their week of prayer every day, every morning this week, and it's going to be with a difference, not meeting as we do or have been doing in the past collectively, but by Zoom. And the Word of God will be preached each morning, and then we'll get into the various rooms for prayer on the internet. Thursday, we're back here in the house of God in the evening for the midweek service at 8 o'clock. And then next Lord's Day, remember the Sunday school going out on the Hebron Facebook. And make sure that the children, especially those outside the church, get to know about this and are tuning in and being part of the Sunday school. We don't want to lose any child from our Sunday school in these days. Now, can you notice also the change of time, bringing it a little bit earlier to 10:30 as well, the Bible class on Zoom, and Christ in the midst of every crisis is the subject being dealt with this month. Hebron's missionary weekend is postponed, We're not going to be able to have it the way we desired, but we are hoping to reschedule on the 16th through to the 18th of April. Our own week of prayer will take place from the 11th to the 15th, and this will be each evening at 8 o'clock, and this will be by Zoom. Maybe you've never been on Zoom, you get the opportunity now to do that, but you do need access to the internet, and we can send the details to you each day on the WhatsApp group. If you're not connected to the WhatsApp group, please see Samuel about that, and he'll get the details from you, your phone, your mobile number, and get you linked in. The Youth Challenge will recommence on Tuesday the 19th of January, and the Youth Fellowship will recommence on Friday the 22nd of January. So we're able to announce this, and near the time give you some more details. You've given to the work of God in all its aspects at home and abroad. Thank you in the Lord's name. And today, being the first Sunday of the month, it's Let the Bible Speak, and it's also the Missionary Covenant support that is due. These are all the announcements that we have to make tonight, always subject to the will of God. We sing again. Our sisters will come to the organ and piano. The way of the cross leads home. What a tremendous theme this is. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. And we are going, as we did this morning, to change our positions. Just stand up quietly and sing moderately this beautiful hymn, The Way of the Cross Leads Home. Seated. If you're back with us again, you haven't been for a little time. We're so glad to see the congregation getting back bit by bit, and we trust that the Lord's blessing will be upon this first gospel meeting of the year 2021. We're turning for our Bible reading to Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to read some of the verses from the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is the longest, the most extensive sermon on record that the Lord Jesus Christ preached. And it spans over, as you know, the three chapters, 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew's Gospel. We're going to read just a few verses at the end of chapter 6, from verse 19 through to the end. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Ending the reading at the end of the chapter, we know that God blesses his word as it is read in a public fashion, and we trust that you've been blessed already as we've gone down these verses. Before we bring the message, we want to pray again and just simply ask the Lord to really come among us with his risen power again. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the Sermon on the Mount, and we thank thee for this passage, full of teaching, full of instruction, exhortation especially for us tonight on this first Sabbath of the year. And we believe a word in season for those who know not the Lord, as well as for your children. As we settle into the message for this little time of gospel preaching, it is our earnest prayer that thou wilt speak. You've spoken already as we've read these verses. You've reminded us of so many things that you've blessed us with. And Lord, we don't want to be worried about the things of this life, even those very basic commodities of eating and drinking and our clothing. We thank thee that the God who looks after his creation will certainly look after his children, who are precious to him. Help us, Lord, to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness every day. I pray earnestly now for the Holy Spirit to take over, to work in hearts, to give me divine enablement to bring the word, that I might know the power of God in the preaching of the word, and that signs will follow the ministry of the gospel. As the net of the gospel is cast out, Lord, we pray that good fish will be found and drawn to the shore this very night. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We have announced to you that we want to preach on the sinner's most essential need for 2021. And we're taking the familiar words of verse 33, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 is our text, where Jesus says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." It was probably the greatest sermon that has ever been preached. Every sermon of Christ was great, but the Sermon on the Mount was probably the greatest. And so proclaimed by the greatest preacher that ever walked upon this earth. We could say of the Lord that he was the Prince of all preachers. There are some men in church history have been given that designation, like C.H. Spurgeon. But preeminently we can say that Jesus, above them all, was the Prince of all preachers. And chapter 6 is the center chapter of this sermon, and it culminates with this most important and heart-searching exhortation from Christ. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." It is, of course, suitable for any occasion in life. It's very suited to a wedding day, and often a pastor or a Christian friend will take these words and will pass them on to a couple that are newly wed. "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," as they seek to set up home together. It's suited to a graduation, not only from the academic world, but we think of our students in Bible college who come to that end of study time and they graduate from the college. It's a good thing to give them this text of Scripture as they go out now from college to serve the Lord, we hope, in a greater way. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." We think of convention meetings. We think of special times, missionary challenges, valedictory meetings, a good message to bring, a good exhortation to set before the people. In fact, just about every given moment, it is a wise and a fundamental advice to give. And not least on this very first Sabbath of the year. And this very first gospel address to you. And I want to say to every unconverted person in this service tonight and those that are listening in, to those who are still in their sins, despite the countless opportunities that have been given to you over the years, to every person under the sound of my voice as you contemplate the year ahead and are making many decisions for the incoming months of this new year, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The commencement of another year always gives new opportunities and brings fresh challenges. It's a fitting time to get our priorities right, to make resolutions, to start new ventures, to take important decisions. And some are planning diligently for the year ahead. They are planning for education attainments. Nothing wrong with that, and I encourage young people to study well when they're at school, when they're at university, do the best they can. There's others, and they are planning for business advancements, and no doubt that's a good thing if you're in business. There are some, and they are planning for new projects this year. You're planning for deeper commitments, maybe in family life, maybe in church life. And they are setting targets. They are beginning anew in so many ways. Well, what I want to say to you tonight, in the midst of it all, don't forget about your soul. Don't forget about those things that are spiritual and eternal. Those matters that pertain to the everlasting things. Nothing is more important. The message of Christ here is appropriate to all, saved and unsaved alike. Dear Christian, I would reiterate the words of our blessed Savior to you. You're a child of God in this meeting. You're starting the year afresh. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And dear unconverted man, woman, young person, whoever you might be, I would give you the same exhortation as forcibly and with the greatest conviction possible, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In these closing verses of chapter 6, Jesus has been warning about certain things. He has been warning about earthly accumulation. We began our reading in verse 19, where the Lord says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. He's also been warning about divided service. It's an impossibility, he tells us, to serve two masters. Look there at verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. He's also been warning about worldly care, even those things that are needful and legitimate every day. Look at verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? And what the Lord is saying here very simply is this: put God first, and everything else will fall into its proper place. Your food, your clothing in particular, that's the context here, and perhaps we don't fully appreciate and understand this in a land of plenty, and we do have plenty, but put yourself into the shoes of his hearers in these Bible times, a poor people, a common people, ordinary men and women, or in the place of those who struggle today for the basic necessities of life in developing countries, and we've seen this, and we've been there. The God who feeds the birds, and adorns the lilies, and clothes the fields with grass, is more than able to look after his children. That's what the Lord is teaching in these verses. Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And then he says to his dearly beloved children, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You put God first, and he will take care of everything else in your life. Indeed, it's a word for some anxious Christian here tonight in this meeting. Maybe that's you. And undoubtedly, it's a word for the dear unsaved who are craving and hankering after everything else in this world. And that's the way I want to apply it to you tonight in particular. If you're not a Christian, if you're not saved, I want you to see here is the sinner's most essential need for 2021. Now, the Lord speaks about possessions here, first of all. He talks about the kingdom of God and his righteousness. These two things go hand in hand, and they are two of the most important possessions that any man can ever acquire. Now, some of you, without doubt, have other things in mind, possessions that you desire and even lust after, crave after, daily necessities. That's the people here that the Lord is speaking to, the food, the drink, the clothing. For some, it is high educational qualifications. That's what they're hankering after. For others, it is promotion at work. For some, it is success in business. For others, it's getting married, the pursuit of a partner in life. Nothing wrong with many of these things, by the way. For some, it's starting a family or having more children. For others, it's increasing your bank balance, maintaining your relationships, achieving your goals and your ambitions, adding more possessions, maybe a car or furniture or a house, becoming more proficient in your sport or your hobby, staying safe in coronavirus days. But I want you to hear what Jesus is saying. He's saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, what is the kingdom of God? Well, very simply, it is the king's dominion. You will know that the word dom is the abbreviated form of dominion. The kingdom, the king's dominion. It is the place where the king rules. It's the place where the king exercises authority over his subjects. And in this case, it's God's kingdom. And Jesus Christ is the king. Now, there is an earthly application to this. Jesus Christ is the king of the church. We often refer to that. He's the great king and head of his church on earth. And he ought to have authority right now in his church. He ought to have sway over the lives and the hearts of his people. He ought to have control. He should sit enthroned in our hearts as king. King of my life. I crown him now. Mine shall the glory be. To seek this kingdom, basically, is to be saved. It is to come to Christ. It is to take him as your Lord and your Savior. It is to enter into the kingdom through the new birth. The great work of regeneration is so wonderfully expounded in John chapter 3 in the interview that Jesus had with Nicodemus. You remember what our Lord said to Nicodemus? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You want to make sure that Christ is your king tonight, that he's in control, that he exercises sway in your life. Because if Jesus Christ is not your king, there is only one other dominion that you can be under, and that is Satan's kingdom. Satan is likened unto a king. We think of the words in the last book of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 9 and verse 11, where we are told that they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. And of course, this is a reference to the devil, to Satan himself. They have a king over them. And the term kingdom in the New Testament usually refers to God's kingdom. But I want you to know tonight that Satan has a kingdom. And he exercises great power in this world. You think of Matthew chapter 12 and verse 26. That shows us this very, very clearly. Chapter 12 and verse 26. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And the Lord is showing us here very clearly that the devil has a kingdom. And he exercises authority over the lives of many individuals. So there's an earthly application here. Make sure that you have come into the kingdom of Christ here on earth through the new birth, that you're saved by the grace of God, that you're born again of the Spirit, that you've entered that kingdom right now. But there's also here a heavenly application, the kingdom that is to come. Thy kingdom come. We pray that in the Lord's Prayer, the kingdom of heaven. And often the Lord spoke about God's kingdom being future and how that kingdom was not of this world. Paul spoke of being preserved until Christ's heavenly kingdom in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 18. James spoke of those who were heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him in James chapter 2 and verse 5. And one day, and we look forward to this day, the redeemed of God are going to hear, as the Lord Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 25, on that great day when the shepherd divides the sheep from the goats and the sheep are on the right hand, the believing church, the people of God, they're going to hear those words, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So there is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven that is yet to be. Have you entered into the kingdom of God on earth, and Christ is now your king. He's enthroned upon your heart. Will you therefore enter into the eternal kingdom of heaven? It's very important to consider these things. There is this kingdom that you're to seek. Then the Lord speaks about this other part, and they go side by side, they go hand in hand. His righteousness. This is a possession that you ought to covet. It's a needful possession. Seek ye his righteousness. Now, what is God's righteousness? Or should I say, who is God's righteousness? Why, it's none other than Jehovah said, can you? The Lord, our righteousness. Here is something to covet after earnestly, indeed with all of your might. The righteousness of Christ, which is imputed to you by faith the day and the hour that you are converted. The fact of the matter is that we have no righteousness of our own. Anything which could be accounted in human estimation as some kind of external righteousness is, as God puts it, filthy rags. All our righteousness in the sight of God are filthy rags. Indeed, from the sole of our foot, this description that is given to us in Isaiah chapter 1, from the sole of our foot to the crown of our head, there's nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been bound up nor mollified with ointment. That is our condition before God. Without the saving work of Christ, without his regenerating power, without that change taking place, our righteousness is filthy rags and wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. My friends, to get to heaven, to be accepted by God, to enter the eternal kingdom, we must have the robe of righteousness upon us. It's the wedding garment. Nothing else will do. You remember the man that came into the feast without the wedding garment. He was cast out. All the other guests were clothed properly. The picture there, of course, was the righteousness of Christ being upon the people of God. But here's a man who crept in unawares, and he didn't have the garment. He didn't have the robe, the wedding garment. And out he was cast. Nothing else will do. You need the righteousness of Christ. Tell me, is it your possession tonight? Are you certain about that? Have you sought for it? Do you remember the day when you came as a guilty, unrighteous sinner to God and you received Christ as your Savior, and in doing so you were converted to him? You received the garments of salvation. You were clothed upon with the righteousness of Christ. The young Scottish preacher, Robert Murray McShane, he said, I once was a stranger to grace and to God. I knew not my danger and felt not my load. Though friends spoke in rapture of Christ on the tree, Jehovah said, can you, was nothing to me. Jehovah said, can you? The Lord our righteousness. It was a day when he was nothing to us. The day when we were without him in our sin, far away from God. Wonder, does that describe you tonight? That's where you are. I pray that as we think of the other verses about him, that the free grace of God will wake you from light from on high, that legal fears will shake you, and you'll tremble to die, and that you will be led to see that Jehovah said, can you? Your Savior must be. Oh, come and drink at the fountain of life. Partake of God's free salvation. Be clothed upon with the spotless robe of the righteousness of the Savior. And know your sins forgiven. And then you will be able to look death and eternity in the face. And you will say, Jehovah said, can you? My death song shall be. It's the only way to go to glory. You'll not go there any other way. Jesus speaks about these possessions. Are they yours? Have you sought the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Are you right before God this evening? And then I believe the Lord speaks about priority. Because he says, seek ye first. That's an important word. Jesus told the people of his day that it was their top priority. In their seeking of anything, whether it was food, drink, clothing, whatever other desire they had, they must seek God's kingdom and righteousness and seek it first. It'll be number one. Not their business. Not your business, if you have one. Not your career. Not your relationships. Not your family. Not your possessions. Not your hobby, not your education, not your sport, not even your health. It is so important to us. What is your first desire in life? What is the top of your list? Your job? Your home? Your car? Your girlfriend? Your wife? Your children? Your clothes, your PlayStation, your Xbox, your television, your computer game, your sporting activity. My friends, it's time that you got your priorities right. Those things that pertain to your soul and eternity. We're all rushing in the same direction. Every one of us. Rushing to eternity. We have only one little life on this earth. And I tell you, it's ebbing to its conclusion. Every day that we live brings us one day nearer to the great expanse of eternity. And Jesus says, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world? Whatever it is in the world you're trying to gain, you'll lose your soul. Here is your number one priority. You've got to seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, a priority. And then there's a third thing to notice here. The Lord speaks about pursuit. And I want you to note the word seek. Oh, my dear friend, you are to be a seeker of God's kingdom and his righteousness. You are to put in the time and the effort. You are to stop at nothing until you have obtained these things. I see all around me in this world seekers. It's probably true to say that everybody's a seeker in this life. Some are seeking pleasure. Don't you see that every day? Maybe you've got friends. That's really all that counts. It's the pleasures of this world. And they're seeking them every day, every weekend. Some are seeking accumulation and wealth. Some are seeking positions, popularity. Oh, how many out there are seeking for health and fitness? We see it. I see it out there. People running. And they're running to get healthier. They're running to be fit. They're going to the gym. They're seeking to have a healthy body. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. Bodily exercise profiteth little, but if it profits a little, you might as well have that little profit. Scripture is telling us that the spiritual exercises are more important, but people are seeking for these things, aren't they? And they're seeking for beauty. They're seeking worldly lusts. They're seeking fame. Seeking friendships. Seeking inventions. There are those that are even seeking revenge and vindictiveness towards others. I think it's true to say in these days they're seeking vaccines, aren't they? When is it going to be rolled out for me? The word seek implies careful diligence. The expenditure of energy, time, and effort. Searching, pursuing, striving, endeavoring. That's what it means. The world is seeking for vaccinations. You know the time and the effort and the expense involved. I see beautiful brides and they're seeking for their wedding dress. They're really seeking. You know, the shops that are visited, the many dresses that are tried on, you know, the pain, the effort, the consideration that is put in, and rightly so. A bride wants to look her best on her day. And there are those who are seeking to purchase a new car or a new computer or some other new possession in their life. These are earthly things, but they do give meaning to the word seek. The Lord Jesus Christ is asking us to seek here. Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he's saying, I want you to put time and effort and diligence into such a search. It's a very biblical thing for the sinner to seek these things. Well, I know in real, genuine seeking, there must be the operation of the Spirit of God. Men do not seek spiritual and eternal things naturally. It doesn't come to you out of the natural inclination of your heart and soul. It's not in the corrupt makeup of a person's character to seek the kingdom of God and the righteousness of Christ. And I also know, and I'm encouraged to know, that God is seeking the sinner. It's a wonderful thing to know when we come to a meeting like this. Not only are we telling you, you ought to seek God, you ought to seek his righteousness, you ought to seek his kingdom. But there's one present with us tonight, and he's seeking out the sinner likewise, and that encourages me greatly. I know these things. But dear sinner, you are commanded here by Christ to seek. Is this not in keeping with the commandment of the Lord Jesus when he said, strive to enter in? Thinking about this very same thing, the kingdom of God into heaven itself. Strive. Give diligence. Pursue it with all of your heart, and your soul, and your mind. And God tells you how to do this seeking. Just thinking of that little verse in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 29, where it says, From thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. That's how you're to seek the Lord. Just as you would put your whole heart into something else, even this world, in a greater sense, in a more important sense, you're to put your whole heart into seeking the Lord. That's how you're to do it. And God also gives a warning about this seeking. There's a warning, for example, in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6, where it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. And that obviously indicates to us there will come a time when God will not be found. Seek him when he can be found. This is the day of grace. This is the age of opportunity. Gospel meetings happen all around our country, just like this one. And it is in such times, especially when God comes near and the Lord is near, and he comes to meet with men in the Word, and he comes to meet with men in the Gospel, and he comes to call men to himself. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. He can be found tonight. He can be found right now where you're sitting. Be sure there's coming a day when he'll not be found. The Bible makes that clear. As I think of the warning of God, I not only think of that reference that I've given to you there in Isaiah 55 and verse 6, but I think of Luke chapter 13 and verse 24. I've mentioned to you already the word strive, where the Lord encouraged the people of his day to do just that. And here in this text, he says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. And then listen to this. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. You're to strive now. You're to seek now. Because Jesus warns there's coming a day when many will seek to enter, but they'll not be able. And sometimes that happens right here on the earth. When the line of mercy is crossed, and God in his wonderful grace is rejected, and a man or a woman or a young person steps over the line of mercy, There's no seeking God after that when he can be found. You might desire to have him. You might seek him then. You will search diligently, but you'll not be able to enter in. And certainly on the great day of judgment, the foolish virgins came to the door and they knocked and they cried for admittance, but the Lord didn't know them and they had to depart. So there is a warning about this seeking. But here's the promise. Seek and ye shall find. My friends, tonight the Lord is asking you to pursue this matter of his righteousness, his kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what he wants you to do. If you obey the Lord in this tonight, here's the promise. Seek and ye shall find. You'll find his kingdom. You will find his righteousness. You can be certain for heaven and for home. Will you obey this? It's the most important thing for you to do at the commencement of this year of 2021. I pray if you have not entered in, that you will enter in tonight. If you're not clothed upon with the righteousness of Christ, that you'll be clothed upon tonight. And if you obey the Lord in this, thank God, it'll be well. It'll be well with your soul. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, we thank thee for your precious word. We thank thee for a timely word. This exhortation of Christ that is really telling us all what to do at the beginning of this year. It has come with power. It has come with challenge. It has come with clarity. And Lord, there are some dear unsaved that are here tonight and listening in on the internet. And they have not obeyed the Lord in this sermon, in the exhortation of Matthew 6 and 33. Oh God, give them grace to obey tonight, to seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he's near, to seek his kingdom, to enter in and come to be clothed in the righteousness, all the spotless, pure righteousness of our dear Savior. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing together the words of 225. Have you any room for Jesus? He who bore your load of sin. As he knocks and asks admission, sinner, will you let him in? Room for Jesus, King of glory. Hasten now his word, obey. Swing your heart's door widely open. Let him enter while you may. Have you any room tonight? Oh, you've room for so much this year. Have you room for Jesus? Only you can answer that in your heart. Let's think of the words as we sing. Father, separate us with the blessing of Almighty God. We pray that that blessing will be with those who have attended the meeting and listened in tonight. And for any who have not sought the Lord and found Him a Savior, entered His kingdom and been clothed with His righteousness, may they attend to this most important matter of their soul and eternity. May they seek first Your kingdom now and Your righteousness. Come to know Christ. As we pray earnestly in Jesus' worthy name. Amen. Again, we thank you for coming to the meeting this evening, and you'll be asked to leave row by row.
Trust the Lord will be with you and give us a blessed year in the service of Christ. And if there are any and you're not saved and you're concerned about your soul, we're here to talk to you. And we can do that. We can keep our distance, but we can open up the Word of God and show you how you can know Christ. Please come and see us. Thank you.